Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. Man, we have had a great week talking about God's comfort on Monday and Tuesday. And then we started talking with Greg Williams and Amy Williams have written a book called The Authority of Love. And just a wonderful couple that I've been blessed to know for over two decades. And they are just wonderful, wonderful individuals and a great couple. And I've been challenging Greg to write a book for about 5 years with all the things that he has shared with me individually and at conferences, both at men's retreats, marriage conferences, and he and Amy do a great job, and he finally took some time to do that, and I really appreciate that. And you're going to be blessed by this book called The Authority of Love as they share what God has taught them in over 25 years of marriage. And I am really honored because Amy Williams is going to share with us today, and that's a little bit out of her comfort zone, having done over 100 weddings in my 20 years of ministry. There's extroverts and introverts, and Amy, is it fair to say that you're an introvert?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, thank you for being
and
with
I'm
us.
And I'm an extrovert. Yeah.
Really? We hadn't noticed that. So yeah, same thing with me. I'm definitely an extrovert. But well, Amy, gosh, just thanks so much for joining us. Love the book. And so blessed by it. And let's talk a little bit about your all's family, because there's several chapters in the book about family. How long have you and Greg been married? And tell us about your three wonderful children.
We have been married almost 30 years in about a month. June 1st, we'll be married 30 years. So that's incredible. We do have three adult children. Our oldest, Lansing, is 25, and Harrison is going to be 24. And our baby, Hayden, is going to be, let's see, she's 21 and a half. So, and Harrison actually is engaged. So he's going to get married in the fall to a lovely young girl, Holly. And it's so exciting to see their relationship as it's grown over the last almost 2 years. And just to see Harrison growing into the kind of man that Greg is and just adopting the same practices and thought patterns that his dad uses every day.
Well, I've seen him do that too. Mm-hmm. You got three wonderful kids, mm-hmm. handsome, beautiful, just great, great young people. So
they get that from their mom.
Yeah.
I agree. Amen. You both are handsome, beautiful, and most of all, great hearts. But, well, one of the things, like I said, Greg, you talked so much about, you know, relationship with Jesus, and whether you're single or married, this book would definitely bless you. But in the last part of the book, you do talk about marriage. And the first thing you talk about, you start off, you share marriage is the number two priority. And I know some people listening go, what? Yeah. What's up with that? So.
It's interesting because I've had people go both ways on that, Greg. First of all, I don't stop there, because obviously the first two programs we talked about the number one priority, Christ has to be Lord, not the church, not your addiction, not your problems, not even your marriage or family. But then I say to people, and I've had couples come back to me and say that one thing changed our lives, to go, okay, we wanted Christ to be first, but when you said marriage is number two and your spouse is number three, we were scratching our heads. And I go, well, let me tell you two things. First of all, I've seen many individuals within a marriage that will appease their spouse to the detriment of the marriage. And when you two become one in Christ, it's a covenant relationship in Christ. So when you two become one, it doesn't diminish who you are in Christ, but it does elevate that relationship as a higher priority than either one of you. If you will keep Christ first and make your marriage the second priority, what you do together, who you are together in the Lord is one, and then your spouse over you changes everything. And couples have come back and said, just learning that and beginning to practice that completely changed our whole marriage and our faith and everything else, because that's what God designed marriage to do. So it is powerful.
Well, I think people need to hear that. And one of the things that I like too, you always talk about, not always, but I've heard you talk about, there's two pair of pants that are essential for marriage. And I know people are like, okay, where's he going with this one? Yeah, I know about that. Talk about those two pairs of pants.
Well, proper authority needed to succeed. All of us, you know, the Bible says that the husband's ahead of the wife. And if they'll read my book, ladies, you'll love it. Men, you'll like it. And if you follow it, you'll really love it. But every man wants to wear the authority pants. Okay? The problem is we keep doing it like we talked about, I think, 2 days ago, just like the apostles did when they said, came to Jesus in Matthew 20 and said, can we sit on the throne with you? So the man wants to sit on the throne with the authority pants on and go, honey, do this, honey, do that, and, you know, kids, do this. But the second pair of pants is the one that Jesus said, proper attitude needed to serve. And if you, in his kingdom, if you're not wearing the second pair of pants, you're not wearing the first. You can't wear the first. But we continue to try and do that, and I think that's where a lot of the issues are, not only in our marriages, but even in our churches, Greg. You know, where we, and we've seen this, where people are ordering and dictating and controlling very nicely, but they're still doing it that way rather than saying, if I'm in the authority and that's where God's placed me, how can I serve? How can I lovingly, humbly serve others? That's the pair of pants we need to wear. And that's supposed to be learned first in the marriage and the home. Even if you're not married, you, hopefully you learned it from your parents and your father. Now we're really, truly being a relational servant leader. And that's the point of those two pair of pants.
Well, Amy, I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you, does Greg model serving at home in your
wife's
marriage?
Have
you seen that in almost 30 years? Can
you
talk about that a little bit?
Yes, and not only in our home, but that's just who Greg is. He just serves others. And that's been a huge lesson for me just as a wife and as a mother, but just as a human being, just to learn how to put myself to the side and focus on other people's needs and what I can do to just serve them and show them Jesus.
Well, I've seen it too many, many times. He served me well, many, many others, and you do the same thing. You guys make such a great, great team. And another thing, you know, Amy, anybody that's been married 30 years, I talk about this. I do a lot of weddings, and one of my words of wisdom that I share near the end is just about, I want you to say five words, repeat after me, and they kind of look at me, and I'm like, okay, on the count of three, one, two, three, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And, you know, the Bible talks about keeping no record of rights and wrongs, but, you know, you all talk about the book. I mean, forgiveness is mandatory if you're going to make it in marriage 30 years, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And I mean, yes, in marriage especially. I mean, there's not a closer relationship among people, but it's something that we have to practice even with other people that hurt us every day. And again, I think it a lot of things in life just come back to putting yourself aside, you know, putting yourself to the side and focusing on the needs and the concerns and the feelings of others and what's best for someone else over yourself.
Absolutely.
Which is what it means to be a disciple.
Yeah.
Die to yourself to make Christ Lord. Now I can do it with others. So it's exactly what she's saying there. Can't do it in my marriage or my family or others if I don't do it to the Lord first. That's why it's so crucial.
Yeah. Amen. Well, and one of the things you said in the book, Greg, you know, forgiveness is mandatory, but trust is earned. These go together, but they are not the same thing. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, that comes from, you know, you got Colossians 3:13 and Ephesians 4:32, where the command is directly, forgive others because God in Christ forgave you. But even before that, right after the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, whatever people call it, in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, we hear, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes through there. And the only thing he repeats in that prayer after it in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew 6 is, for if you forgive men, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So that command, again, remember, hundreds of commands in Scripture, but no demands.
Yeah, I love that.
Because a loving father will say, I'm going to show you, if you mess it up, there's going to be a consequence, but it's your choice. And that's why he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. I'm not going to demand them from you. You will lovingly choose to keep them. So when people do us wrong, if we are not willing to forgive them in the way that Christ forgave us, then evidently we're not receiving what Christ gave us. I mean, there's no other way to interpret that. But in John 2:24, Jesus himself, when they were trying to pull him in, he'd been miracles and all the things they'd seen, they're trying to make him king. And so Jesus slips away because it says he would not entrust himself to any man because he knew what was in their heart. And so, but less than 3 years later, he entrusts his entire life story, the gospel message, to 120 men and women in an upper room because he had seen himself in them. And so as we learn to trust Christ in them, in us. We live in such a way that they see him in us, and we look for that. And then we forgive, but we don't necessarily have to trust. And in marriage and in relationships, they go together because you got to forgive before you can ever trust. But once you've forgiven, which is a command, I need to do it right away. I'll have feelings involved with that. And one of the things I say in the book is if I'm willing to be obedient to Christ and forgive, guess who's going to lead me through the process of the emotions? The Holy Spirit. If I'm disobedient and don't forgive, then guess who's leading me through the process of the emotions? The enemy, my own selfish flesh. Your choice. But when you do that, now you can open yourself up to begin to trust again. And then that's how it's built upon.
One of the things that you all share in the book, talking with Greg and Avian Williams, they have written a book called The Authority of Love. I want to encourage you to go to their website, check it out, loveandlordship.com. You'll really be blessed by this book. But one of the things in the book, it says, meeting each other's needs requires daily dying to self through communication and submission and humility, integrity, and purity. And Amy, man, just that dying to self daily. If you're going to be married 30 years, you got to do a lot of that, don't you?
Yes, you do. Yeah, and I think that goes back to the whole putting the marriage before your spouse. You know, it's about the harmony in your household and the peace in your household, which is of utmost importance to me. But again, it just goes back to just putting your selfish desires and needs aside for the good of your marriage and for your family.
Well, I love how you guys have modeled that, and I've seen that, and I had a guest on a couple weeks ago, and they had an unexpected pregnancy, and it kind of ruined her career plans, and finally her husband, they had a great relationship like you all. He said, would you just quit being selfish? You know, yes. The Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord,
right.
And yet
God's got a better plan.
Yeah, but I have to admit I'm selfish, and you know, I've got to die to self all the time. But one of the things I love about this book is that the foreword at the beginning of the book, Amy Williams wrote it, and Amy and Greg went through this whole process of writing this wonderful book and just do all the editing processes and stuff. But I think every guy would love to have his wife say this about him, and Amy wrote the foreword for this book. So, Amy, it's just so powerful, man. When I read it, would you mind just reading that and sharing that with our listeners, please?
Sure. I've got Kentucky allergy throat right now, but... It says, I've said many times that God knew what I needed in a husband way before I did. God knew I would need a strong man committed in the Lord to be my husband and the father of my children. Certainly our marriage has not always been perfect, but I know having Greg Williams be my husband was a part of his most perfect plan. Every word in this book comes from a man whose heart truly beats for God. Greg not only loves his word and seeks his will, he spends every day in conversation with him. He constantly evaluates his thoughts and actions to make sure they glorify God and show love for others. Since the day I met Greg over 30 years ago, he has had a passion for giving others the gift of Jesus' love and lordship in their lives. This book is a culmination of what truly gets Greg's heart racing: healthy men, healthy women, and healthy children in healthy relationships to the glory of God. Our prayer has always been that God would work through us to share his message to reach others so they can experience the peace and freedom that can only come by seeking Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord.
Wow, that is powerful. And we're going to close our program with that. If you're looking for a great book, we just scratched the surface, but I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of this book, The Authority of Love. Greg, I only give you about 15 seconds, but man, what'd that mean to you when your wife wrote that?
I'm choking back tears every time I read it because that's what every man would want. And I sent that out to several people and said, how do you think this comes across? They said, put it in there. I hope my wife says the same thing. I had not seen it until then. So I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Yeah, it is. It's such a blessing. You're going to be blessed by this book. So go to loveandauthority.com.
Love and Lordship.
I'm sorry. Loveandlordship.com and get The Authority of Love. Yes. I know you will be really, really blessed if you pick up a copy of this book by Greg and Amy Williams, The Authority of Love. That's loveandlordship.com. Loveandlordship.com. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Do you have goals and ideas, but life always seems to get in the way? Do you need to hit a reset for this year? Hi, I'm Twyla Brown, and on May 22nd, I'll be in Lexington hosting a workshop called Cue the Confetti, Preparing to Celebrate Your Best Life. I'll help you define what matters most in your world so that you can create a life that points you towards your goals while protecting your priorities. In this workshop, you'll learn how to create a vision board and strategically plan your week, month, and year like a business. To find out more information, visit online at twylabrown.com. That's twylabrown.com. I can't wait to meet you.